We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Giants at Colorado. There is, it's 0-0, man on third. I was going to say no score, but my dad always said, there is a score at 0-0. Anyway, 0-0. The Rockies with a man at third, as I said. The Giants bring the infield in at Coors Field in the first inning. Now, I know the Giants have much bigger problems than what Gabe Kapler does here or there. And I know the defense, three more errors. And so I don't want to nitpick, but I was watching that. And, of course, you don't realize till Dwayne Kuiper says, you know, this is a little curious. Can you guys explain that to me? Maybe there's something I'm missing. Maybe I'm just, you know, I'm looking too hard to find fault with Gabe Kapler. That made zero sense to me. At Coors Field, of all places, in the first inning.
Well, the fact that it's at Coors Field doesn't really matter because...
Oh, but it does.
No, let me finish before you lean back, fall out of your chair, and give yourself a concussion. The danger of Coors Field is that balls in the air carry. It's not that balls on the ground are a bigger problem. If you want to complain about the infield being in, that's ballpark neutral because the infield being in only matters on ground balls. It doesn't matter on fly balls. Now, you may continue. And seriously, well, I do want you to fall out of your chair in agony.
I know. Well, not in agony. I thought Matt Kolsky might have something to add there before I jumped in. What did you think of that, Matt?
I think like so much of what we're seeing, it speaks to a certain philosophy. But I don't know. I think we have to let these things marinate a little bit, right? Like, if this is how you're going to play things, how does it play out over the longer term? That's always the question for me in baseball. Mm-hmm. I don't know that it's any easier to judge this today than it is any of the other things Kapler's doing, with the exception of overt mistakes. Because this is not an overt mistake that you're calling out. You disagree with his strategy. And I don't know. I suppose I'm of two minds on the strategy question. I can see both sides of it. But I don't know how we can judge it as success or failure yet.
Here's the thing. It's so unusual. Ray, as you mentioned, well, the ball travels in the air further at Coors Field. It doesn't impact ground balls. But because the ball travels further in the air, teams tend to score more runs there, which means that you don't want to give up a big inning. You're playing for one run when you bring the infield in. It was a head-scratcher to me. Ultimately, I know. Maybe I'm nitpicking because, Matt, as you said, they've got bigger problems. They made so many mistakes. But it was just one that ultimately didn't make sense to me because that's something you do when you're playing for a single run. And to play for a single run at Coors Field, I didn't get it. But there's a question, I suppose. There are many more important questions. Maybe we'll get to that one. Maybe we won't. But we can actually ask Farhan today, and that should be fun, to say the least.
Maybe not for him, though.
What do you got planned for him?
I guess he'll find out. Now, listen, I think tactically, I mean, Kapler is part of a new wave of thinking, and I don't know if that necessarily is part of it. He might have wanted to be able to sort of prevent, increase his chances of preventing the Rockies from having a big inning early. But it's the egregious stuff that's going to measure him. And the egregious stuff is not just, making an ill-timed mound visit when the rules say you shouldn't.
Yes.
It's
right.
How he keeps the clubhouse together, how he keeps players sort of believing in the message. And I've yet to hear even people from the Phillies say that, you know, somehow he's a failure at that. I think if they're going to play differently, you have to sort of let the manager, and in this case, the manager and the general manager, have their heads. I'm with Matt. You make moves. Some of them work. Some of them don't. You're basically operating under percentages. If he's making persistently low percentage moves, and I don't know that this one falls in that category, then you can start asking questions. Or if he doesn't know the rules, or if he has players, you know, angry at him, or if he ruins the bullpen. The bullpen hasn't been good, but I don't think he's ruined it. I mean, it's still, you know, it's 12 games in. It may seem like it's a big deal because it's 1/5 of the season, but I think we have to determine first how much the Giants are putting into this season as opposed to what they're putting into the longer term. And maybe if this is the way they're going to play all the time, players need to get used to that.
And I think to your point about Coors Field, Whitey, I kind of agree with you that playing for a single run in a ballpark like Coors seems like nitpicky at best, right? But at the same time, if that's going to be your philosophy, that we do the high percentage move to avoid the run every time, then I don't think you want to change it at Coors Field just because, you know, they might hit more home runs, unless it's a strategy specifically designed around fly balls or something like that, which, of course, this is not.
Right. Hey, we thought we had a home run last night. We thought the Giants had a home run. Duggar hit one that looked like it was going to be a home run. It looked like it was a home run. In fact, Dwayne Kuiper and Mike Kruko, they didn't know what it was last night. We have that call, Nash, last night. The apparent home run from Steven Duggar last night.
Duggar goes the other way, hit well. On the move is Hilliard at the wall. It is... we don't know.
Well, I couldn't tell if it hit the top of the fence and bounced back in.
Out of here!
That's a great call by Kipe because the umpire called it a homer. So after that time, like, we get the shot cutting to the umpire giving the home run signal, and Kipe just bombed in with out of here. That was fantastic.
Yes, it was. Rockies over the Giants 5-2, and Farhan today is going to be with us at 5 o'clock. You got a question for Farhan, something you'd like us to ask him, 888-957-9570. Also last night, how about the Oakland A's? Ooh. Jesus Luzardo last night, his first start, and there's something about, this is an old baseball thing, I don't know if it's true, it's something that I learned, and it seems like it's true. Left-handed hitters have a prettier swing, a more aesthetically appealing swing. And left-handed pitchers like Luzardo, he throws so hard, the ball just jumps out of his hand. That was just fun to watch last night.
If he can stay healthy, he will be fine. I think he's got that kind of arm. And unlike A.J. Puck, he doesn't have the hyper-violent delivery. It's a smoother process with Luzardo.
Yes.
There are not as many moving parts in that delivery. So it's really simply a question of remaining healthy rather than being a risk to remain unhealthy. Because if he is healthy, you know, he could throw like that for a decade.
He's fun to watch, man. And kind of classic. You know, it's fastball, curveball, changeup, and boy, that fastball, when he's locating it, it's going up to 97 or so, but it feels like one of, it's so hard to tell on TV, I guess, but it looks to me like one of those fastballs that hitters talk about boring in on you and not sort of seeming even harder than the velocity indicates, because he even though it's not violent or awkward and his arm doesn't seem to have the stress of Puck, he's not one of those guys that looks like he's tossing nice and easy. You can tell he's throwing it hard.
Yeah, and it's a heavy ball, too.
That's what I was saying.
It feels like the kind that are going to make your hands vibrate.
Yep.
So here's the situation. Whitey in for Damon today, and Farhan's on today at 5 o'clock, so we're going to get down to business. And when it comes to looking out for your business, Bay Alarm brings the best, like professionally monitored video verification, proven to catch crooks and prevent false alarms. Because if your security's not the best, you're not secure. Now more than ever, Bay Alarm. Coming up, Raheem Mostert's Captain Phillips moment with Damon Radwanowski. Whitey in for Damon, 95.7 The Game.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention?
May I have your attention, please?
Giants general manager Farhan Zaidi is joining Damon Radwanowski today at 5.
This is unbelievable.
What does he think of Kapler so far? Will we see Joey Bart sooner or later?
Just do it. Just do it. Just go ahead. Just play him. Just do it. Just do it. He's ready to go.
Hear it straight from the man himself, Farhan Zaidi, on Damon Radwanowski.
Yay.
Today at 5. Only on 95.7 The Game.
Advertisement by Zimmerman Reed of 2381 Rosecrans Avenue, Suite 328, Manhattan Beach, California, 90245.
Attention all Uber and food delivery drivers. If you drove for Uber or a food delivery service any time in the past 3 years, you may be entitled to significant cash compensation for unpaid wages and mileage. Text RIDE to 47177 right now to see if you qualify for compensation. RIDE to 47177. Rideshare and food delivery service companies may be in violation of federal and state employment laws. If you were a rideshare or food delivery driver, part-time or full-time, anytime during the last 3 years, you may be entitled to significant compensation. Text RIDE to 47177 now to see if you qualify for compensation. Time is limited, so text the word RIDE to 47177 now. Text RIDE to 47177.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at zimri.com/legal-notice. Texting enrolls you in recurring automated text marketing messages. Consent is not a condition of purchasing goods or services. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out.
Baseball's back, and it's game on with radio.com.
Bringing you the best coverage of this historic 60-game MLB season.
Follow your favorite clubs on the country's best sports stations. Every day, they'll break down the news with in-depth game analysis and exclusive player interviews.
For a unique perspective on the MLB season and all sports,
listen to Radio.com Sports Originals, like Swings and Misses.
The best in sports talk is right at your fingertips. It's game on.
Follow Major League Baseball on Radio.com and the Radio.com app.
Locked in a cell and sick with COVID-19.
It was the sickest I've ever been in my life.
Loved ones frantic as the death toll rises.
We're just sitting on pins and needles. Like, could that be him? Am I going to get a phone call?
I'm KCBS reporter Kathy Novak reporting on the coronavirus crisis in California's Department of Corrections.
There's people that are sick and there's people that have died. And who's going to be held responsible or accountable for it?
Tune in for a powerful series all this week on the Bay Area's number one news station, FM 1069 KCBS.
I'm Listening Daily, here to help end the stigma of talking about mental health. During these challenging times, listening is fundamental to promoting understanding and healing. Here's Logic on the importance of not giving up.
I think anybody that could be listening right now, something that I could say to them that could be going through this or having these thoughts is whatever is going on, whether it's sexual abuse or trouble at work or the fact that they don't have any money or they feel like there's nothing and their whole mind is just completely just thrown into thinking about this thing to the point where they don't even want to think about it anymore. They don't want to deal with it anymore. And that seems like the best option. However, if I had given up at any of the lowest points in my life, I would have never seen this day. So my advice is, don't give up because you have not the sight yet to live your life. If you persevere and you continue, things will get better. It's just a fact. Scars heal.
Let's end the stigma of talking about mental health. Find out more at imlistening.org.
Dell supports America's entrepreneurs during Small Business Month with all you need to office anywhere. Save up to 45% on computers and servers with Intel Core processors. Upgrade to new modern devices with Windows 10. Plus, save on top-brand tech while enjoying free shipping on everything and special financing with Dell Business Credit. Call 877-ASK-DELL to talk to a Dell Technologies advisor who can help you find the tech that's just right. That's 877-ASK-DELL or visit dell.com/smallbusinessdeals.
From muscle pain, body aches, to strains, Blue Emu Maximum Arthritis. It works fast and you won't stink. Its unique formula with emu oil penetrates deep to relieve arthritis pain, sore muscles, joints, and more.
Morning.
How'd you get in my house, B?
Through the air conditioning vent. It's dark in there.
Go away.
How about some Honey Nut Cheerios?
Cheerios. Do I look like a child to you?
Honey Nut Cheerios are tasty and can help lower cholesterol as part of a heart-healthy diet. Did you just
No.
I'm pretty sure I heard a
It was my dryer.
You might want to get that thing checked out.
Have a change of heart. Honey Nut Cheerios. Learn more about Honey Nut Cheerios by picking up a box at your local store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Oil change coming up? We can help you out. Right now, you can get 5 quarts of Pennzoil High Mileage Motor Oil and an STP oil filter for just $28.99. And if you need it fast, we can help you get it fast. Whether it's at home with our next day delivery or in-store and curbside with our free same-day pickup. The choice is yours. Getting the job done just got easier. Restrictions and details at AutoZone.com.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Now back to Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Whitey in for Damon today. Glad you are with us, and what a day it is. Farhan Zaidi making his first 95.7 appearance at 5 o'clock today. So if you have a question that you would like us to ask Farhan, 888-957-9570 on the text line. What do you think of this question, Ray and Matt from the 650? Can you please ask Farhan, who sets the lineup? How's he going to answer that one, Ray?
I think he'll say that Kapler sets the lineup.
Frankly, I think that's asked and answered. He said that before. Now, I don't know if we can believe him or not, but I don't know that we need to belabor that point.
Yeah, I mean, it's almost a semantic difference because while Kapler writes down the card, how much input do Farhan and the other baseball ops people have before then? I mean, is Kapler basically given his brain because the Giants front office thinks they know what he'll do? Or is this, something where they talk about it ahead of time and help him make up his mind?
I was going to suggest that that's not really a pleasant task right now, filling out that lineup card. But last night, notwithstanding, it hadn't been the lumber that's the problem. It's the leather. And the arms for the Giants, right? I mean, the lineup has been fairly productive. They've been scoring a good number of runs.
Yeah, they've scored. I mean, they're in the middle of the pack in home runs, which is unusual for them. Mm-hmm. They're generating about league average run production, but they also haven't faced great pitching yet, and now they're starting to run into that. Colorado's got a really good rotation, and then we don't have to go through what the Dodgers and Houston bring to the mound. So we'll get a better read at the end of this road trip how they really are as an offensive team. But for the moment, they've held their own. The problem is in the other two areas.
Yeah, that's all true. I still think it's – I mean, I understand why the texter asks the question, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting. I think that does speak to a lot about how the organization operates, whether or not Farhan actively sets the lineup. Now, he has said repeatedly that he does not, so I don't know that there's any point asking him. But whether or not he does is of interest to me.
I'm glad I'm not a baseball scout anymore. Or actually, I never was. But a guy like Gausman would drive me crazy. A guy like Gausman.
Yeah, it's a very good thing that you're no longer a thing you've never been.
Yeah, thank you, Ray. Gausman would drive
Glad
me
you left that
nutty.
Life behind, Whitey.
all that time on the road and the motels. Yeah, but you look at Gausman. And he's 97 miles an hour. He 95 with regularity, and he's got movement, and he's got a really good changeup. And then, that's frustrating, right? I mean, every time
what
I see
exactly
him,
like,
wow,
did that noise mean,
good.
Whitey?
Well, that means that he's been coughing up a few runs here and there.
Yeah.
That's what that means. The opposition has been making more solid contact than I, a former would-be scout, would anticipate.
Did I? I don't want to give anybody like a bad feeling or I don't know. But does that remind you of anyone else in the neighborhood? All those things you just said about Gausman as a pitcher.
Where are you going with that?
I mean, it's Samardzija, isn't it?
Oh.
Samardzija doesn't hit that number anymore.
Yeah.
No, not anymore, but that's why Jeff Samardzija drove you nuts for a lot of his career, is his stuff was electric, and then all of a sudden, could you do it again, Whitey, the noise? Exactly. That was Jeff Samardzija, when he was 29, right?
You're just having White Sox flashbacks, that's all.
I mean, it could be A's flashbacks, it could be Cubs flashbacks, it could be White Sox flashbacks. Jeff Samardzija has given you those performances, and it's Giants flashbacks. He's given you that in most uniforms.
Yeah. How about Samardzija? He made the All-Star team in 2014 as a Cub, but he couldn't play in the All-Star game because by the time they played the game, he'd already been traded to the A's, so he was an American leaguer. Oh, boy. Very, very unusual. Speaking of the A's, Lucas tells me that the A's, with their second walk-off Grand Slam, they've already set a franchise record for most walk-off Grand Slams in a season. This year, in this weird, weird year, two walk-off Grand Slams for the A's, the most they've ever had in any season, ever. And they go back quite a ways.
Who said there'd be no record set this year?
That's right.
They're on a pace to have 10, if that helps.
Woo! It's going to be a good year.
On the one hand,
On
the one hand, and there's no question that's a good ball club. On the other hand, I think right now, if I'm a National League or an American League West team, I just salivate when I see Texas on my schedule.
Maybe. I mean, they're hurt in starting pitching. They got some guys who hit bombs. I mean, certainly Joey Gallo up to this series has been really good. I think there is. Look, Texas might be one of the easiest stops on the schedule, short of Anaheim, but it's still a tough road no matter where you're sitting in the Western divisions.
Mm-hmm. Ray, let me ask you something coming from me, a former wish I had been a scout. When you're evaluating a player now, let's say a real scout, he's evaluating a player maybe for a trade or a young player. How difficult is it to evaluate somebody in this environment? Now, obviously, I know you're not only basing your assessment of a player and what he's doing now, but the environment, the conditions are so different. How many conclusions can you reach seeing somebody play in these weird circumstances?
I think the real question, and that's the first thing I'm probably going to ask Farhan, is how do you evaluate the guys at Sacramento? I mean, is it just sort of a glorified instructional league? I mean, is it extended spring training? I mean, what is it you're looking for down there? Because the baseball here is going to be within fairly narrow parameters, the baseball you're going to see anywhere. I mean, all the trappings that are different are outside, except for the two stupid rules, one of which I don't think they'll ever revisit, one that they'll probably hold on to forever. But I don't think that evaluating guys at the major league level is dramatically different than it was last year or the year before. It's that second level because there are no AAA games or AA games or single-A games or instructional league or any of that. So the real test, it seems to me, is not at the big league level, but it's with that next group of guys that you're looking for either to play in 2022 and 2023 and onward or move for other teams' prospects or other teams' veterans. I think that's the hard part. I think the playing is fine.
Ray, you make it sound like in Sacramento right now, they're just playing glorified grab ass. Really? You think that's
what's
going
on? No, I
don't know
what they're doing. That's my point. I have no idea what they're doing.
And I think to tack on to that, if whatever they're doing, is it really going to aid in the development of their young players the same way that playing would? You know? Are they getting the same development? If you have development goals for Joey Bart and Elio Ramos and Marco Luciano, how can they reach those goals playing, as Whitey puts it, glorified grab ass in Sacramento?
Well, it might be that they are at the glorified grab ass stage of their careers. I mean,
maybe they are. I'm just asking.
I think this is a set of bad situations for a team that wants to look at young guys.
Yep.
But it's all you've got. And you can either look at them under the conditions that prevail, or you can rush them and ruin them. And I think they're choosing the prudent course. Whether it's fast enough for a lot of people, because they are watching the big league games as though they are life and death, is a whole different argument. But it seems to me that you're getting what the Giants want to do, which is see what everything you can see from guys like Bart and Luciano. I mean, Luciano wasn't going to play this year anyway. He's way too young. But
no, I know. That's my point.
Yeah. I think this is it, they would not do it this way if they had a choice.
Yeah. Anyway, 888-957-9570. If you have a question you would like us to ask Farhan, you can text it along here. Don't worry, we have the glorified grab-ass question taken care of. So we've got that. One of the things that I don't know about you guys, I really appreciate about NFL camps starting now, and, you know, let's hope we have a season. But I needed that because my sports calendar now is all out of whack, right? I mean, I love having the baseball and the NBA, but baseball just started and it's August, and the NBA, the playoffs haven't started yet, you know, and it's here we are, August. So camp is supposed to start about this time. So I'm grateful for that. Today, Raheem Mostert met with the media. Raheem Mostert, who finally got everything settled. We don't know about George Kittle and the 49ers, but we know that the 49ers have things settled with Raheem Mostert. And as he met with the media today, Raheem Mostert had a Captain Phillips moment.
Back when I was talking about getting more bulky, I didn't mean as far as, like, you know, being 220 and having a whole lot of weight on me. It was more so, you know, being bulky as far as my muscle, having more muscle mass and, you know, having more endurance and all those type of things. So that way I'm able to get 20-something carries, you know, a game, which is, you know, not to say that it's not going to happen, but I got to prepare myself because I am the starting running back, and you know, my confidence level is just up to, you know, the guys that consider themselves to be top backs.
Yeah, Raheem Mostert, I am the starting running back. When I step on that field, I want everyone to say, that's a bad mofo. Is he going to be the starting running back? I mean, it's going to be still running back by committee, isn't it? Whether he starts or Coleman starts or McKinnon or whomever.
I think when he says starting running back, he means the go-to guy. And the go-to guy on this team may mean only 18 carries a game. But I think that's how he views it, and I think that's sort of how he has to view it. Because he was the guy who carried the most times down the stretch. And I know when Matt Breida was the go-to guy, he thought of himself as the go-to guy. In the couple of games where Tevin Coleman got a lot of action, he thought he was the go-to guy. But they don't have to think macro. They have to think micro. The macro view is that, yeah, it's going to be running back by committee. But it's not going to be where everybody gets the same number of carries game in and game out. It's a, you know, Kyle Shanahan runs the hot hand based on who they're playing and what kind of success they're getting. So to start the season, yeah, Raheem Mostert can absolutely feel that. And he's likely to be disappointed from time to time because I think Kyle Shanahan views them as different guys for different problems.
Yeah, I think everything Ray says is true. And I also think...
Wait. Time it. Don't ever say that. Even if you think it. Don't ever
Why?
Say that.
I like giving Ray the credit he so richly deserves.
He says it a lot, and it's I take it as a direct insult.
It's not an insult at all. It's an absolute compliment. And speaking of which, you're resplendent in that soccer jersey today, Ray. You really look fantastic.
Whoa. You're not going to leave that hanging out there.
Sure I am.
It's UNICEF. It's the only reason I have anything that's a jersey that I didn't buy 45 years ago. And most of those I gave to my son in lieu of allowance.
All right. Well, then you look resplendent in your UNICEF jersey.
Okay.
I'm glad we're on the same page again. I don't entirely remember where this all started before I got distracted by Ray's soccer jersey at this point.
Raheem Mostert.
But
we were
essentially,
talking Raheem Mostert.
No, I know. Yeah.
Running
back
Raheem Mostert.
Raheem Mostert's as the starter. I get it. Here's the thing. Written down, I thought it was kind of a Captain Phillips moment, as you called it, Whitey. I'm the captain now. Mm-hmm. Hearing him say it just then, it sounded more kind of just like a guy who knows he's in line to start the season as the primary in a running back share. I don't think, look, it's not like Raheem Mostert is a new guy who signed a big contract or something like that. He knows how this team works. He knows how the coaching staff thinks, and he knows that that thinking led to him being the primary guy down the stretch of a Super Bowl run. So I would hope he has this level of confidence given the way he performed last year, and I would guess that Kyle Shanahan has empowered him to have this level of confidence and this level of feeling like he's the number one guy by, you know, I don't think, I would expect Kyle has talked to him about his role, right? Like, I don't think he's saying this out of nowhere.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's a great attitude for him to have. I also think, and I think this is where you're going, Ray, he should prepare to be disappointed at a point or two along the season.
For sure. I agree.
There's no, I mean, Kyle Shanahan has had now 3 years to establish what he believes in philosophically. And we've seen most of that pretty consistently, and he doesn't really vary from it a lot. He would prefer to run the ball to passing the ball, but he's not dogmatic about it. He would prefer to have his defense off the field rather than on it. He's probably more dogmatic about that. And he doesn't expect to turn this into the worst subject we have going. He doesn't expect Jimmy Garoppolo to throw the ball 50 times a game. And if he does, it's because the game has gone to hell.
Ray Ratto is the one that went into the G-zone there. Ray Ratto is the one who brought up Jimmy Garoppolo.
Yeah, but I mean, it's part of his philosophy. And that's why I brought it up. He isn't going to run games the same way that Sean McVay does or that, you know, Andy Reid does. He has chosen his personnel to fit his philosophy, and he's entering a fourth year, which means he has all the players he wants the way he wants them. I mean, if you need more time than that to establish yourself, you're not doing it right. And I don't think anybody's accusing him of not doing it right. So I think what we've got here is this is the team and this is its philosophy. He's not going to vary from that unless things go pear-shaped. So
yeah,
you're getting what you're supposed to get.
Right. Unless things go pear-shaped or unless, as time goes on, the makeup of the team changes, right? Look, I guarantee you, if Kyle Shanahan could straight up trade Jimmy Garoppolo for Patrick Mahomes, he would. And I'm sure if he had Patrick Mahomes, he would run his offense differently. And that's called not being an idiot, right? But I do think Ray makes a really important point that Kyle Shanahan, to use the, I believe, Bill Parcells phraseology, he went shopping for these groceries. No, maybe that's Jimmy Johnson.
No, that's Bill Parcells.
It was Parcells. He shopped for these groceries.
My wife also said that yesterday.
Well, I'm glad that she did that. Although maybe you should pitch in a little bit, Whitey, for God's sake. You're only working 4 hours a day.
Yeah, Matt.
Probably.
But yeah, I think we have to remember that he didn't get everything he ever dreamed of, but he got to use the resources on the stuff that was available in the manner he chose. So this team is really designed how, you know, he would design a team given the available circumstances. And clearly that involves running the ball a ton with a ton of different guys.
And truthfully, the thing that he's done most of all is acquire more defensive linemen. Now, unless he's got some of those guys doing yard work, he's clearly saying, I want to be strong up front defensively, because that makes life for my linebackers and secondary much easier. Now, he may change that philosophy in 5 years, but it's pretty clear that he believes that as much as he believes anything.
Boy, is Deion Jordan in for a surprise if he shows up and Kyle Shanahan says he's working on topiaries. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The new member, Deion Jordan, apparently going to be the new member of the 49ers front. Before we talk about that, I have to confess, I don't think I've ever heard the saying, unless things go pear-shaped, and you both dropped it. I plead ignorance.
It's British.
That means things go wrong, but I love pears. What am I missing?
It's British.
Unless things go pear-shaped. Is it a soccer term or something?
Well, I think you'd imagine, no, it's just a British term, but I think you'd imagine normal things being round or perhaps square, and a pear has a bizarre shape. That'd be my guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not the only one. Someone on the text line, Doobie in Chicago. What does it mean for things to go pear-shaped? I see. Okay. You'd prefer things to be round, right? Oh, dear. Things have gone pear-shaped. Good Lord. My goodness. All right. Thank you. I didn't know that. Thank you.
Don't thank us for that. We had nothing to do with that. You're owning that on your own.
I just did not know that. But you probably have heard this by now. Deion Jordan expected to sign with the 49ers. The thing I remember about Deion Jordan is that, was it the 2013 draft, and Reggie McKenzie had the third pick, but he wanted DJ Hayden, so he kind of swindled the Dolphins into trading up to get Deion Jordan, and then Reggie got DJ Hayden. Unfortunately, that didn't work out great, but I remember he kind of manipulated the Dolphins there, who took Deion Jordan third. Deion Jordan, he recorded 2 sacks last season in 7 games with the Raiders, actually. He's had suspension issues, ten-game suspension for Adderall. Also missed 2015 for violating league substance abuse policy. He's been injured. So this is a depth piece, and the 49ers, for a Super Bowl team last year, they're making some interesting moves. Signing Jordan Reed, the tight end, for depth, and now Deion Jordan.
It's interesting you brought up the Raiders, because I saw something today from Mike Garofalo. That was a weird way for the Raiders to approach the virus. But apparently last week there was supposed to be a Zoom call with Gruden, and instead his assistant head coach, Rick Bisaccia, took it and basically told the players that Gruden had COVID. And after a couple of minutes, after the players sort of processed, they says, well, actually he doesn't have COVID, but there's a lesson in that, which means that anything can happen at any time, and you can't not be ready. You don't get that as an excuse. And it was sort of a weird way to approach it, but it's the sort of thing that, you know, that football coaches are good at, which is, okay, we're going to take this bizarre set of circumstances and we're going to boil it down to something you can understand. And it's the same message we tell you all the time, only now you got to feel it a little bit. I just thought it was interesting.
I don't think I'd appreciate that, being told my coach had COVID and then being told, no, he doesn't, but we just want you to be ready for things to go pear-shaped. I don't think I'd appreciate that.
I don't totally understand the point.
I don't either.
The point is they were looking at the possibility of having a different head coach for a while. And in fairness, this was before the Doug Peterson. So they might not have done that, you know, if they had known that ahead of time. But I just thought it was a novel way to approach what is their newest reality, which is that everything's up for grabs all the time.
Okay,
novel.
I guess. I don't. Yeah, novel is one word.
Ray, maybe I speak for Matt here. So forgive me. Are you saying that they really did think Gruden had it, or was this
psychological? No, it was it was psychological torture. That's what they were doing, because that's what the Raiders do best. No, I think they were trying to make a coach's point in a coach's way, using the new reality that I think players understand, which is that don't rely on anybody next to you being the same tomorrow that it was today, because there are now things out of your control and our control in what is normally a very controlled environment. And, you know, maybe it's cringeworthy, maybe it isn't, but I thought it was a way to approach the new football, because as we're seeing in college football, you can't guarantee what you're doing Thursday if it's Wednesday.
Are either of you guys familiar with the television show Arrested Development?
Yes, I am. Very. Yes.
Because sounds to me like the lessons that he tries to teach his kids with like the crazy man.
You always leave a note.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the level that Gruden is operating at, if you ask me.
Well, I mean, look,
that's a great call.
This is a guy who thinks that Frank Caliendo is the cutting edge of comedy.
That's true.
So So it's, you know, it's.
Well, you can take shots at
John Gruden always. John Gruden always uses a bone saw to make a point, and this is one of those times.
It's theatrical.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And who knows more about theatrical than him?
Yes. You know, it's been great. Baseball's back. That's wonderful. Football starting. The NBA has been tremendous. Bubble basketball has been out of this world. Why is that? Ian Eagle, maybe he can explain the beauty of bubble basketball. He joins us next. Damon Ratto and Kolsky. Whitey in for Damon. 95.7 The Game. And that'll be brought to you by Fremont Bank. Full service banking. No compromises.
It's gone pear shaped.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I please have your attention?
May I have your attention, please?
Giants general manager Farhan Saidi is joining Damon Ratto and Kolsky today at 5.
This is unbelievable.
What does he think of Kapler so far? Will we see Joey Bart sooner or later?
Just do it. Just do it. Just go ahead. Just play him. Just do it. Just do it. He's ready to go.
Hear it straight from the man himself, Farhan Zaidi, on Damon Ratto and Kolsky.
Yay.
Today at 5, only on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile and Sprint have merged, so get ready to see T-Mobile with thousands of new locations across the country. And for a limited time, you can switch your family to T-Mobile and get 4 lines for $25 a line with 5G access included. That's right, unlimited and nationwide 5G for the whole family for just $25 a line with AutoPay. T-Mobile has more 5G coverage than the other guys combined, with 5G available in all 50 states. So don't wait. Unlimited and nationwide 5G access for the whole family for just $25 a line is a deal that won't last long. Visit a T-Mobile store or go to T-Mobile.com today.
Plus taxes and fees. Customers may notice lower speeds and further reduction if using over 50 gigs a month due to data prioritization. Video at 480p. Unlimited while on our network. Qualifying credit and 4+ lines required. Capable device required for 5G. Coverage not available in some areas. Some uses may require certain features. See T-Mobile.com.
At LL Flooring, the sales tax is on us. Save on a beautiful new floor, and we'll cover the sales tax on top of our already low prices. Choose from our wide selection of quality wood and waterproof floors. Plus, we'll cover the sales tax on everything in our stores August 5th through August 11th. Lumber Liquidators is now LL Flooring. Visit llflooring.com for details. Valid only in California and only at LL Flooring.
Come into Friedman's Appliance and see the full line of Fisher & Paykel's indoor and outdoor products. Experience them in person in live vignettes, including their famous dish drawer dishwasher and unique sizes of refrigeration to fit almost any spot. Fisher & Paykel products cater to everyone, whether it's midweek convenience or weekend gourmet, heat and eat or family feast. And for a limited time, enjoy special offers on qualifying combinations of Fisher & Paykel products. Visit Friedman's Appliance in Pleasant Hill or online at friedmansappliance.com.
Together, we will make our local businesses and communities strong. Move California forward.
Wear a mask and keep your distance. Governor Newsom continues to beat the drum of social rules meant to slow down the spread.
This transmission can be substantially mitigated by wearing face coverings, social distancing, just being 6 feet apart from people you otherwise do not mix with, people that are outside of your household.
For more info on what's moving forward in your community, go to radio.com/MoveCaliforniaForward.
Locked in a cell and sick with COVID-19.
He was the sickest I've ever been in my life.
Loved ones frantic as the death toll rises.
We're just sitting on pins and needles. Like, could that be him? Am I going to get a phone call?
I'm KCBS reporter Kathy Novak reporting on the coronavirus crisis in California's Department of Corrections.
There's people that are sick and there's people that have died. And who's going to be held responsible or accountable for it?
Tune in for a powerful series all this week on the Bay Area's number one news station, FM 1069 KCBS.
During these challenging times, listening is fundamental to promoting understanding and healing. That's why I'm Listening is here to help you talk about mental health. We feature conversations from celebrities and mental health professionals who share how they manage anxiety, depression, and other mental health issues. Our mission is to combat the universally felt crisis of distance and division by promoting conversations that end the stigma of talking about mental health. Find resources and more information at imlistening.org. That's imlistening.org.
Mortgage rates are at historic lows, so if you have a mortgage, refinance it and forget it. You'll never have to worry about refinancing again. Network Capital Funding is offering our lowest 30-year fixed rate ever.
2.625 with a 2.64% APR.
Incredible, with no origination fees or discount points. Network Capital has built a reputation for saving people time and money with our unique process that's fast, simple, and secure. Our 30-year fixed rate is 2.625 with a 2.64% APR. Incredible! These are historically low rates you may never see again. So, refinance it and forget it.
That's a 30-year fixed at 2.625 with a 2.64% APR.
Call the experts at Network Capital Funding now. 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1-HIT, as in home run. Call now and save big on your refi. 800-500-1-HIT. 800-500-1448. NMLS ID 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Financial Lenders Law. Number 603-D787. An equal opportunity lender. Rates subject to change and credit approval. Call 800-500-1-HIT for more information.
Are you ready to have a great workday? Blaisdell's Business Products is here to make it happen with PPE essentials, office furniture, break room, janitorial, and office supplies. Blaisdell's offers the personalized shopping experience and customer care that your business deserves. Simply order online 24/7 at Blaisdells.com for free next-day delivery to your business or home office. Register for your free business account today at Blaisdells.com. That's Blaisdells.com or call 510-483-3600.
Hey, so are you the type of guy that wants to look put together but doesn't want to spend hours at the mall finding new clothes? So you can look great at the office, on the road, or even just on the weekend with friends and family? I hear you. This is why there's Stitch Fix, your personal styling service that delivers hand-picked clothes right to you. Stitch Fix is simple. Sign up in just a few minutes. Tell them about the brands that work for you, and even let them know what types of styles you prefer. Stitch Fix is convenient. You get great clothes delivered right to you, so you can try new styles on in the comfort of your own home and make a decision without any pressure. And Stitch Fix is on your terms and priced to match your budget. There's no subscription required ever. Keep what you want and send back anything you don't. So, isn't it time you got it all together? Get started today at StitchFix.com. Stitch Fix, personal styling for men, women, and kids. Stitch Fix, personal styling for everybody.
Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky continues on 95.7 The Game.
Grateful to have you with us today, and I'm grateful to be here. Whitey in for Damon on this very auspicious occasion. Farhan Zaidi, the president of baseball operations for the San Francisco Giants, is going to join us at 5. Thank you for all the suggestions already. 888-957-9570 on what to ask him. Also, thanks for all the explanations on the text line of what pear-shaped means. I think I got it now. I appreciate it. I'd never heard it, but I think I've got it. Also, coming up here, we're expecting to talk to my favorite basketball announcer, Ian Eagle. So that's coming up here on 95.7 The Game. And Ray Ratto, Matt Kolsky, I think we talked about this last week when I had the distinct pleasure of being in with you guys, but bubble basketball, for whatever reason, it's been tremendous.
I don't wax as euphoric as you guys do, because to me, a lot of these games are really just about arguments for the real season that hasn't started yet. But it's been okay. I mean, I've been looking at the number of three-point attempts, and just that alone. I mean, these are teams that are jacking up shots they would not jack up in the regular season. I mean, Utah, including today's game where they beat Memphis, they've thrown up 153 in four games. That's damn near 40 a game, which is way outside what they normally do. And Houston has just gone nuts because they're way over 50 a game. And there are a lot of games like that. Brooklyn-Milwaukee the other night had 108 threes. And that's sort of one of the things that I think people find sort of invigorating about this, because they can't really tell, you know, bigger picture things. But they do know when teams are just going to jack shots up. And, you know, when you've got two teams that are throwing it up more than 50 times a game for beyond the arc, it's a different game than people are used to. And that's even including people who have watched Daryl Morey's teams in the past.
Yeah, it could be the three-point rate. That doesn't really move me. And I do feel like I've been entertained by what I think is more aggressive basketball. You don't have the rate stats in front of you, do you?
Because my guess would be, it would take a couple of minutes.
Well, maybe look them up. And I could be wrong. I've certainly done that before. But my guess would be that these games are being played at a higher pace, and some of the increase in three-point shots is as a result of increase in shots in general. Although certainly those numbers don't lie. Teams are taking more threes than ever. I also think they're attacking the rim harder than we often see. I think they're making cross-court aggressive passes more. Like, it just seems like a more aggressive, fast-paced brand of basketball, and I'm not quite sure what to put that on, what to say exactly what's responsible for that of all the many changes these guys have since the last time they suited up, but I sure enjoy watching it. And I do think it's a difference. I don't think it's just us excited to have basketball back. I think it is more exciting right now.
I haven't crunched the per numbers or anything, but to me, just watching the games, they've been very exciting. Let's find out from our next guest why exactly that is. And please don't tell anyone, as I said, please don't tell Tim Roy that our next guest is my favorite basketball announcer. Please don't tell Kevin Calabro. But here he is, NBA on TNT, NFL on CBS, TV voice of the Brooklyn Nets. You've heard him also doing the French Open, the one and only Ian Eagle. Ian, how are you today, sir?
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, we appreciate it. We were just in the middle of a raging debate, Ian. You called the Portland over the Rockets game last night, another fascinating bubble game.
Yeah.
Why do you think bubble basketball has been so watchable and compelling?
Well, I think the thirst for it is part of it, but I also think the NBA understands how to put on events. They've always understood that. All-Star games, NBA finals, you name it, they get it. So the big key was, is it going to look like the NBA? Is it going to sound like the NBA? Is it going to feel like the NBA? And the initial feeling that I got, at least from viewers and people that I know, was, wow, this is great. The court pops. The sound is vibrant. The competition has been outstanding. The guys are getting after it. They seem to care. Personal pride has kicked in. So all of those ingredients have led to an outstanding presentation. And now, of course, it's up to the players if this is going to be intriguing and compelling basketball and if some of these storylines are going to carry through come playoff time. No fans is weird. I'm not going to tell you that it isn't. You show up at the venue and it's a little odd. It's a little dystopian. In that you just go to your little cubicle, you call the game, you leave, you go back to your hotel room. It's rinse, repeat. That seems to be how the day goes every day, for me at least, inside the bubble.
Let me get a little more granular, because you do Nets games. How do they look different now than before the bubble?
Yes. The roster does not resemble the pre-pandemic roster. Things have changed quite a bit. They're rolling out a team that is probably not going to be representative of what they have next season with KD and Kyrie Irving. But they have played hard under Jacque Vaughn. They had that shocking win over Milwaukee yesterday. Mike Budenholzer sat his starters in the second half, but they had a big win, pivotal win against Washington that separated them from the Wizards to probably avoid the play-in. And they're just playing with a bunch of guys that are trying to take advantage of opportunities. Tyler Johnson was just signed by the Nets. Chris Chioza's on a two-way deal. Timotei Luwawu-Cabarrot is getting major minutes. Dante Hall was playing in the G League, and these guys are a big part of the rotation. So I think it's not just the Nets, guys. With all these teams, you had opinions that were formed prior to the hiatus, and then you're trying to reconcile whether those opinions actually are still correct, or are you forming new opinions based on the bubble experience? It's going to be really interesting here over the next few weeks heading into the playoffs to see where teams really stack up.
Yeah, I wasn't talking so much about the roster, because there's been a lot of churn. But just talking about whether they have approached this in a different philosophical way or a different tactical way than they did under normal conditions.
I mean, they have a completely different team. So whatever the conditions were prior, the team was Kyrie Irving, and let him do his thing, and let's see how it plays out with one of the most gifted players in the league. You know, they're just not playing with a full deck right now. So philosophically, they've got a coach in Jacques Vaughn that's trying to prove that maybe he could be the guy, but I don't know if these eight games will determine that. This is very different than normal conditions, and I think teams that are here are trying to use it productively and be somewhat open-minded about the players that are on their roster, but the Nets in particular, I don't know how many guys are going to be here next year. So how much of this really translates to 2021 remains to be seen.
I want to jump back to the no fan situation, because obviously it's a little weird for everybody involved, but do you feel, being in the building, do you feel like it's having an effect on gameplay, on referees? Like, are there specific things you notice that absence of fans is affecting the game in this way?
Yeah, I would say the general dynamic between player and official and coach and official is much more subdued than it would be when you have screaming fans that can affect how the back and forth goes. Now it's a bit more civil. There's still reaction. Russell Westbrook was not happy with some of the calls against him or against his team, and he voiced it, but it wasn't gesticulating in the way that he normally would, where the fans get in on it and you have a section react in a crowd that now doesn't exist. So some of that, you can feel the difference. It's pretty tangible. From an announcer standpoint, I've had experience calling games remotely prior to this. I called NBA Finals on the World Feed. I've called FIBA World Basketball Championships. I've called golf events. I've called tennis events, just off a monitor. And you don't have the compass of the crowd that usually can give you a little bit of an indicator of, oh, I got to really crank it up right here, or maybe the crowd is so good. I just lay out. I say nothing. I let the director get shots of the fans, and we go to commercial break with the cascade of sound and pictures. Well, you don't have that. So a lot of it has to be instinctual. And let's face it, you know, I did New Jersey Nets games in the mid-90s. I'm used to doing games without fans. I have experience.
More with Ian Eagle in just a moment here as we welcome you to your 3 o'clock hour.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM and HD1 San Francisco, a radio.com sports station.
Yeah, you got Damon Radokolsky, Whitey in for Damon on 95.7 The Game. Ian Eagle, Ian, again, thank you so much for your time. On the other hand, you're in the bubble, right? So you probably don't have that much to do.
Yeah. Thank you for calling me.
You had last night, as we mentioned, of course, Portland and the Rockets. And Ian, you've seen a lot of basketball, obviously. What's your best guess? How far do you think the Rockets can get with this micro ball?
It's very different. I work with Stan Van Gundy, who is a terrific guy, who's a Bay Area native and has just a fantastic perspective on things, and I respect his opinions greatly. He's intrigued by it. He understands why the Rockets have done it. The basic premise is that they were not good enough as they were looking at their team and trying to determine whether or not they could truly compete for a championship. Under the traditional setup of Clint Capella playing the middle and trying to do it the old-fashioned way, they didn't have confidence that they could beat the best teams in the NBA. So they made a very controversial decision by today's NBA standards on January 31st that they're not going to do it that way anymore. They're going to play small ball. They're not going to play with a natural center. They're not going to have one come off the bench. They're not going to change what they do. We talked to Mike D'Antoni about it yesterday. He said for their team, he's not saying this is the way it should be in the NBA. He's saying for their team and their current situation, this gives them the best chance to win. Do I personally believe it's sustainable? Do I believe you can win a championship that way, hoisting three after three after three and the combination of threes and free throws? No, I don't. We saw it with Portland. They had 2 7-footers in there at all times, and if ever in doubt, they just went into defer mode, which was dump the ball inside to either Nurkic, Collins, or Whiteside and get a call or get a bucket. And I think that's what the bigger teams will look to do, and they'll probably take advantage, especially in a 4 out of 7 series where if your shots aren't falling and you're Houston, you're not going to win. It's that simple.
This sounds a lot, and you may or may not remember it, or Stan may have talked to you about it. It sounds a lot like Don Nelson's teams in the late 80s and early 90s, where they didn't play with a center either. And while they didn't jack up threes at this rate, they wanted to play as fast as possible and create a state of chaos in which they were better at it than you. So when you say it's not sustainable, is it not sustainable because there are just structural things about it that can't endure? Or are there ways that teams can figure out how to deal with them and take away the things they're doing now?
Yeah, I think it's a combination, but I think their margin of error is so slim. So let's take Portland as an example. They've got great guard play in Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.